Welcome to the Awakened Man Podcast, where we promulgate that your physical, psychological, and financial health are your true sources of wealth that must be safeguarded and optimized to achieve long-lasting happiness. Here, we'll discuss tactics on how you may self-actualize to reach the pinnacle of authentic masculinity by embracing true libertarian principles, arming yourself with red pill knowledge, as well as implementing the most up-to-date holistic health biohacks to optimize your health. Stop being a blue pill sheep, being led to slaughter by big government and the court system. Become an awakened man. Here's your host, Gregory.
Hello, everybody. This is Gregory, and welcome back to another episode of The Awakened Man, a repository for holistic health, red pill masculinity, and ultimate freedom. Today, we're going to talk about why women initiate divorce disproportionately. Now, this is a great follow-up to last episode, which was about the high rate of failure of second marriages. And I thought it'd be good to start out the repackaged Awakened Man by hitting up some of these major points, these cogent points, I would say, to help men and women who are listening understand why marriage is risky for men in 21st century America. So let's get to it. I'm just going to talk about some reasons why I think women initiate divorce so much more than men do. But let's go to the statistics here, because I don't want you to think I'm just making stuff up here. I'm just making it up, making all this stuff up. All right, so there was a study that was done by the American Sociological Association in 2015, and it said that women initiate divorce about 70% of the time, but college-educated women initiate divorce at an even higher rate, 90% of the time. So in other words, when a divorce is initiated in a marriage, 70, and I've seen this stat higher to 75, but 70% of the time it's initiated by women. But if it's a college-educated woman and there's a divorce in a couple, 90% of the time it's initiated by a woman. Now, what are the reasons for this disproportionate or preponderance of women initiation of divorce? What are some reasons? Well, I mean, we've skirted upon this in past episodes, but I think there's a couple of things. I think if you look at the statistics, the rate of what we would call gray divorce, divorces happening in their 50s and 60s is higher now. And that's actually the biggest rise in divorce are couples in their 50s and 60s. And I think, and again, women are initiating it disproportionately. And I think what happens is women look at their man at 50, 55, and they're like, this isn't the olden days where I had to stay with him because I wasn't working. And this is the olden days where I was going to die at 60. My life expectancy is around 80 years old for women in America. I got another 20, 25 years of my life ahead of me. Do I really want to be with this guy who's falling asleep on the couch or scratches his butt or, you know, whatever excuse it is? Do I really want to be with this guy? And then, of course, you're reinforced by television shows that are telling women, you know, girlfriend's got to divorce. You do it, girl. You do it. And so lots of times that's kind of the reasoning. And I can understand to a certain extent, right? It's like if you're disenchanted with your man, like I have another quarter century of my life ahead of me. I'm still ambulatory and I have vitality. Let me do it. Let me just do it. And then, of course, you know, the main reason is you can say, let me do it, because you're going to cash in a lot of money, which is predominantly his money, to finance this new life of yours. Now, yes, you might have been working the last 10, 20 years for sure, but we know statistically women marry men who make the same amount, and that same amount is normally when they get married in their 20s. It's more about the potential of what the man's going to make. But if a woman is marrying in the 30s or later, post-wall, she almost always will only marry a man who makes more than them. And this goes back to the Paleolithic underwiring of security and hypergamy, which we won't spend too much time here, because you can go back to, I think, last episode we focused on it a lot more, previous episodes for sure. And so they'll initiate the divorce and they get money out of it. So I think one of the big reasons why women initiate divorce, and lots of times they advertently or inadvertently know this, there's a financial boondoggle. There's a financial boon that comes from this. Because of the way the court system is set up, family law, a woman is going to get a lot of money out of the man, because the way the system is kind of set up, it's kind of set up with the presumption that women don't work and men still are the sole breadwinners of a family. So when a divorce happens, we have no-fault divorce. So I've mentioned this many times. So you don't have to give a reason why you're divorcing. And in fact, you don't have to show just cause or who's to blame, so to speak. Some people who have never been divorced think, oh, my husband cheated on me or my wife cheated on me. I'm going to take it to court. I'm going to get all their money, or they're not going to get any of my money because they were the ones who cheated. No, the court doesn't care. Your wife could have been banging the pool boy for 5 years or three pool boys. And if she initiates a divorce, you're like, oh, she won't get a dime because she cheated. No, my friend. Now, if this was 1942 in the midst of World War II, yes, you would be right because we had fault divorce. But nowadays, no. She'd be banging the whole world and she's still going to get half, if not more, of your money. And that's just the nature of family law in America. So, yes, a woman does benefit financially from divorce. Almost always. Now, you'll hear these stories. Oh, yeah, but Gregory, you know, I didn't get any money. He hid money. He was hiding it. Da, 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 da. Well, it's because you didn't hire a lawyer that was good or good enough to find where he was hiding the money. But the system is lopsided and set up to benefit the woman, even so much so where women can go and get free consultations all the time. Lawyers have, you want to come, you want to see your husband? Are you disenchanted in your marriage? You know, come see us, free consultation. And they give women free consultations because they know more often than not, the woman's going to win the case and get a humongous payout and they're going to get a cut of that. But they don't give men free consultations unless you go to, not even, you know, there's been this growth of male-oriented family law and divorce attorneys that just, they focus and market directly to men because they know men are, you know, blindsided many times by divorce. And we'll talk about this later. But they don't even get free consultations. So the women get free consultations. But in a typical divorce, especially if there's kids, she's going to get half the assets. Now, did she deserve half the assets? No. Maybe she did. You know, maybe it was those weird, very rare scenario where she's making more than him. But in situations where a woman is making more money than the man in the marriage, the woman just simply doesn't respect the man. She'll give the lip service and ostensibly say she respects him. But she really doesn't respect it because we are wired for gender norms. It's been that way since time immemorial. You can't purge that out of us. You really can't. And so you see these stories of, man, stay-at-home dad, and the woman works because she has a better career. Yeah, those marriages don't work. Statistically, they actually don't work. And resentment builds. The man feels like he needs to be working, and that's our raison d'etre. That's where we get our reason for existence, and our self-esteem comes from work. And women are more wired to be at the hearth, at home with the kids. That doesn't mean that women aren't good at working. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying we need to tap into our traditional gender norms. So either way, so the woman's going to get half the assets, even though, let's say, the man started the company, founded the company before they got married, and he worked all those hours to make the company grow. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. Or let's say he's the lawyer and he's making $350,000 a year and she's a teacher making $50,000. They're just going to add that up, $400,000 divided in two. You get $200,000, you get $200,000, you get $200,000. It's like, what? But I'm making three quarters of the, it doesn't matter. What's yours is mine and mine is yours, right? You hear this lie lots of times in marriages. It's like, but sweetie, you know, I have all this student debt. Could you pay? And like, oh, sure, you know, because the guy loves her and pays the student debt or gets her the boob job or plastic surgery. And then you see her leaving him afterwards because now she doesn't have to worry about that debt or the consumer debt that she brings in. So it's like, what's yours is mine and mine is yours. And that's really the mantra during divorce as well. Then you look at child support in most courts, unless the wife or the mom is a crack whore. And even then, but unless you can prove that she would endanger the kids majorly, the woman gets the children 85% of the time statistically. And with that comes the finances of the child support. So you're looking at 20%, let's say 20-25%, depending on how many kids you have. And as I mentioned before, the woman doesn't have to document how she spends that money. So that money could go toward rent, mortgage, clothes, but she could be getting the clothes at crappy, you know, Walmart and using that child support, whatever, $2,000 a month, whatever it is, toward whatever she wants it to be, a new TV, trips, a new car, and nothing stops it from doing that. Now, some of you want to be like, what's wrong with that? Well, because it's called child support, and I don't think you buying a new car, I'll bet you could rationalize, oh, this car is bigger and protects them or whatever. No. So women should have to enumerate exactly how they spend that money, but that would just plug up the court system. And the court system doesn't really care how you spend it, to be honest. The court system will always say, oh, we're here for the kids. They really don't care how you spend it. And then the biggest kicker, I drink my white tea, it's still warm. Alimony. I mean, why the hell do we still have alimony? I get it. Alimony in 1942 made sense. Woman wasn't working. Man wanted to divorce her for the younger woman. Or she was cluster B, personality disorder crazy. Fine. Here's your money. We'll set you up. You'll have this money until you die because you don't have a career. And I want to make sure that you don't end up on the streets. Totally makes sense. Women now work. Women actually earn more degrees, undergraduate, graduate degrees, doctorate degrees, lawyer degrees, everything, more than men. Why the hell do we still have alimony where a woman can get paid until she dies, depending on the state? She could get paid by the man until she dies. How the hell does that make sense? So I think this is one of the reasons why women initiate divorce, because they either knowingly know, hey, yeah, once he signed that contract, he's got no leverage. I got all the leverage. And now I can just divorce him, whatever, and get all this money. Because women benefit from engagement, marriage, and certainly the divorce. Because they're marrying a man who makes more than them. And so most of that lifestyle through the engagement, certainly the marriage, is going to be generated from his finances. Now, you women will say, well, that's what men are supposed to do, provide for their women. But I'd like to think that you're objective enough to be able to step back and see from the male perspective that if women initiate divorce 90% of the time, and I'll assume because most of my listeners are college educated, that if we gave that statistic and told you, okay, look, you know what? We're at the airport. This plane's going to crash 90% of the time. How many people are going to get on it? Nobody's going to get on it. But going back to the previous episode on the statistics on the failure rate of second and third marriages, most people just don't know these stats when they get married. So if you were to tell a man, hey, you know, some 27-year-old naive man, hey, you know, 50% chance this marriage is going to end, and 90% of the chance that your sweet angel that you're looking at is going to initiate it. She would never do that to me. Well, stats don't lie, my friend. So one of them is the finances. So the difference between 75% with non-college educated and 90% with college educated, I think you can attribute that or ascribe that a little to the inculcation or certainly the indoctrination of radical feminism in college universities. And, you know, beforehand, you wouldn't really see it in the hard sciences, certainly in the liberal arts. I mean, I went through college in the 90s, and I had my graduate degrees. I got those in the late 90s. And, you know, we had women studies, gender studies, you know, all these things. But pretty much now in every liberal arts degree, psychology, anthropology, sociology, political science, history, you know, Spanish, Latin, whatever it is, all these things, radical feminism is pushed in there. Definitely. And now I'm talking, of course, way before the whole Antifa explosion of 2020, when we're all woke and you can't say anything that offends anybody or you'll get fired or canceled. I'm talking about even in the 90s. I mean, I remember sitting in classes where women, female professors would say the most heinous things about men. And of course, you couldn't speak up because then you would get blacklisted and you'd fail. You'd fail. But women are kind of imbued in this environment, even going back to high school. And then certainly in college, the college is, you know, 90% of the professors are postmodernist wacko leftists who push their anti-Christian agenda and their pro-communist agenda. And these kids are susceptible and they're naive and they want to believe it, and they're very malleable and fungible. And so they believe this stuff. And so these women, and the thing is, these women get imbued with this. And the thing is, most everybody believes in a quality of opportunity. But the problem is a quality of outcome. So quality of opportunity is everybody should have the right to apply for a job, right? There should be no restrictions on or quotas on how many women should be able to enter medical school, how many men should enter medical school, law school, so forth. But the problem is a quality of outcome, the quality of outcome, which is otherwise known as affirmative action, where even though, let's say, in the sciences, just because the way the man's brain is wired, men tend to gravitate toward the sciences and just tend to be better at it as a whole. But you can't have 80% of men get their degree in engineering and only 20% of women, because that looks disproportionate. So we have to put in measures to quote, rectify that, close quote, that to get it more toward 50%. And so the problem is quality of outcome, where it's like a race, right? You can't have people of different countries and different aptitudes do a 400-meter run. And because when you do that run, the majority of the time, a certain group is always going to win. So a quality of outcome is letting certain people start a quarter of the race in, half the race in, or three quarters of the race in, and then shoot the gun and say, go. No, that's not right. It's really not right. But either way, so I think that's one of the reasons radical feminism has destroyed marriage so much. And we don't really have time in this episode to talk about it, but maybe that's a future episode. And it's just destroyed marriage so much. And we did that previous episode about how 70%, how American women were happier in 1970 than they are now, even though we had way more traditional gender norms back then. And we kind of talk about it over there. But what's another reason why women initiate divorce? Well, you look at entitlement. You know, I think there's this idea that women feel entitled to always be happy, and women have this sense, and maybe because they just inherently know that the system is set up to favor them during marriage, but there's this idea that I deserve it all. You know, my husband should worship me, even though I don't cook, I don't clean, and I don't know, I rage a lot, and I've gained 100 pounds. You know, this entitlement, like the woman doesn't have to do anything to merit being a good spouse. And we could flip this and say this about certainly about men as well. But you exacerbate that by social media. Social media is horrible. Like if I was married, I would tell my wife, you're never going to be on social media. But of course, that's mate guarding, which is a separate episode. But to find, you know, tell the woman, no, you're never on social media. Because the thing that a lot of men don't understand about social media is a platform. And I think some people know this because men do this too. But it's a platform to hook up and have extramarital affairs, you know, look up ex-lovers and so forth. But the other problem with it is that it's inherent narcissism. And this is why women love selfies and women are more attracted to like Instagram and Facebook, is because they'll take pictures all the time because they need this narcissistic feel all the time of being told, you're great, you're amazing, you're beautiful, blah, 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 blah. Then they have all these orbiters. Like anytime you're on Facebook and a woman posts a picture and some guy posts saying, hey, you look great, just know that guy wants to F her. Okay, guys just don't post and respond to women posting pictures and compliment them without knowing that they want to screw them. So this is what we call the beta orbiters, the people that orbit around women and lavish attention, attention, attention. And of course, this feeds their narcissism. Oh, I'm great, I'm great, I'm great, I'm great. So you're dealing with that all the time. And you know, and the thing about making women happy, there's a great meme. And there's this meme that says, how to make a couple happy. And in under the part that says, how to make a man happy, there's like four things. Be nice, sex, obedience, and just be quiet, essentially. And then for how to make a woman happy, there's 150 things. And a lot of them are contradictory. You must be sensitive, but you must be masculine. You have to be a carpenter. You have to be an engineer. You have to make money. You have to be good with kids, but you can't be too effeminate. It's like all these things. And of course, it's impossible to fulfill that thing all the time. And I think this just goes to the greater thing of disenchantment. And disenchantment is simply this. I think when women get married, they truly believe they're in love with their husband. Now, lots of times, going back to the previous episode, a lot of it is rebound. A lot of it is fear of being alone. So they might not be picking the guy they want. Chris Rock has that old line. You know why your wife's always mad at you? Is because you weren't her first choice. And so there's a lot of reasons why women marry. But I think in most cases, women genuinely marry because they're in love with that person. But the problem is women do this more than men. They project what qualities they want that man to have. And they're wearing rose-colored spectacles. That man might not have any of those qualities at all. Oh, he's aggressive. He's masculine. You know, he's going to work harder. He's ambitious. And that guy is like a shell. It's like a shell, and they're just projecting into that shell the qualities they want him to have. And this guy might be telling him straight, he's like, I'm not this, I'm not this, I'm not this. but she doesn't want to see it for a variety of reasons. And so after a year or two or after a child, she starts realizing, oh, this guy is not what I thought he was. And maybe this guy was telling you the whole time he wasn't. But disenchantment kicks in, discontent, disillusionment. And this is the big problem with marriage, is disillusionment. And so at this point, she becomes disillusioned. He's not the man I thought he was. And then the rationalization kicks in. Well, if he let me down, he let me down. Maybe he did let you down. Or maybe he was never the man you thought he was because you projected it. There's that Einstein quote that I always quote all the time. A man marries a woman and wonders the rest of the marriage what happened to that woman. Meaning she's young and vivacious, sexually available, has a joie de vivre. And then, you know, 25 years later, she's a nag and she's just nothing like that. And then the other part of that line is a woman marries a man and spends the rest of the marriage trying to change him into the man she wants him to be. Both are inevitably disappointed. And so we know women like fixer-uppers, guys with an edge, but they pick men for a variety of reasons. Maybe because he makes money, but he's a beta schlubby provider, but, you know, she doesn't want to see that. She doesn't want to see that. And so they project. And so inevitably there's going to be disillusionment. And once disillusionment comes in, rationalization comes in. Since he doesn't make me happy, then I have the right to, and then dot, dot, dot. It could be spend all of his money, disrespect him in public or in person, rage at him, cheat behind his back. I deserve it. I deserve it. And then you get that fueled and by Hollywood, all these TV shows and movies telling women to do it, have it, you know, have affairs, do what feels good. Then you add and compound that with the entitlement culture that you find on social media that women are always feeling. And so this leads to a cocktail where, like, I deserve better. I deserve better. I'm going to divorce you. Plus the, you know, the whole financial incentive she has behind that. Now, why don't men divorce? Well, men are wired differently. See, men, believe it or not, are the true romantics. We love in a fundamentally different way than women do. And this is something men and women don't understand. Women's love is based on utility. What can you provide me? What have you done for me lately? Brefeau's law, so to speak. And a man's love is actually more romantic. And this is why men are much more devastated at the end of a relationship than a woman. A woman moves on. We talked about this in the previous episode with Warbride syndrome and how women are wired differently. To move on much faster. But men can be devastated because they actually truly love that woman. A man's love is much more sacrificial and it's much more, I would say, unconditional than a woman's love. Not to be a Pollyanna and say that unconditional love exists, because I've mentioned in previous episodes, it doesn't. A woman gains 400 pounds, the guy is not going to love her anymore. And if the guy loses his job, the woman's not going to love him anymore. But men have a different kind of view of marriage. Certainly, lots of times men are disillusioned with marriage as well. They married a certain woman, like the Einstein quote, and she ends up being nothing like that for a variety of reasons. But men have this more, I think, I don't know, I would say defeatist or fatalistic view of marriage, where it's like, yeah, I'm not happy. Yeah, she rages or disrespects, or we never have sex. I'm just going to wait out, play out the clock, so to speak, from a sports analogy. Yeah, it's the end of the third quarter. I'm only 48. Yeah, I got 20 more years maybe, but yeah. Because they don't want to break up the family either. They don't want to break up the family in most cases. They don't want to lose their kids. And men, a lot of men know, even blue pill men know, if I divorce her, I will lose tons of money and I will lose my kids. And they take that sacrifice because they don't want to lose their kids. Whereas women tend to be much more solipsistic. And when they divorce, they don't really think about how this is going to affect the kids. They're thinking about how this is going to affect me and benefit me. And this, you can't really blame a woman for this, because this is just pure solipsism. And solipsism is really inherent in women more than men. But one of the reasons men don't divorce is simply they don't want to break up the family. They have kind of more this noble, honorific view of what marriage is. And they're I wouldn't say they're content, but they're more likely just to stay in a miserable marriage. And lots of times with divorce, you know, the man doesn't see it coming. He's just so clueless, or he's checked out of the marriage, that the woman has been planning the marriage way ahead of time. You know, they always say, you know, when a woman initiates divorce, it's never a hasty or impetuous. It's planned and calculated. She's been planning it for some time. She's fallen out of love with you years ago. Because again, love doesn't exist. It's more of a societal construct. It's really just a bunch of cocktail of hormones and then later codependence. and infatuation and lust. And then later it's codependence. But she falls out of love with you. She has utter disdain for you many times. And then during that window, that's when she's much more susceptible to having affairs. And we've talked about affairs in previous episodes. But either way, she'll justify the affair because you're no longer making her happy. Just like, and it's a little different than why men have affairs. And we'll maybe have a future episode on that. But yeah, it's all calculated. So like lots of times when a woman initiates divorce, and again, 90% of the time, the man has no idea it's coming. No idea. He gets served at the door, or I mean, I know dudes who've been served at their work, of course, or just on the streets at a restaurant, and they are just side blinded, or they're just out of the blue. Just what the hell is going on? And then the woman puts like a restraining order, or the woman uses false allegations, or the woman, you know, seizes the assets or steals all the money from the savings account, all these things. And the guy's like, what is going on? Yeah. This is the nature. This is the nature of divorce. You know, divorce as a whole is not a pleasant thing at all to go through. So look, I think these are just some reasons why women initiate divorce 90% of the time. If you don't believe me, women, oh, that's not true. And women, men do it all the time. No, I'm not saying men never do it, but statistically, you're wrong. It's 90% of the time. And I think these are just some reasons why it is. And women, if you're intellectually honest with yourself, you cannot deny that women as a whole benefit financially from divorce. It's certainly marriage, but certainly from divorce. Absolutely. Now you'll say, well, Gregory, you know, I watch enough Tyler Perry movies, and I know lots of times men are beating their wife. No, that is third, fourth wave feminism nonsense. Statistically, actually, if you look at the stats, the rate of domestic abuse is about 45% women, 55% men. So it's almost 50-50. Maybe we'll do another episode on that. But look, I'm not condoning a verbal or psychological or certainly physical abuse in any way, shape, or form in a marriage. But even if a woman is getting beaten like in a Tyler Perry movie, she can eventually leave and take all of his money if she has a good lawyer. So again, why should a man marry in 21st century America? There's absolutely no reason. Go back to the plane analogy, 90% chance this plane's going to crash. Well, really, you know, if it's a first marriage, it's like, okay, there's a 50% chance this plane's going to crash. And then if you're already married, just so you know, there's a 90% chance that she's going to divorce you. And then, no, it won't happen. Well, the stats don't lie, my friends. The stats don't lie. And they'd be like, what a prenup? What about a prenup? Prenups are thrown out all the time. If the woman has a good enough attorney, she can throw it out, especially if she can prove that she would be on welfare or the kids would be in destitution without the man's money. They're thrown out all the time. They're thrown out all the time. I would tell you this, of course, men, if you are going to get married, definitely have a prenup. And if she fights back against, is like, well, you think my love is based on money? Then don't marry her. Don't have the relationship thirst and the simpery to be like, okay, I'll back down and yeah, we'll marry. No, if she is against it, there's a reason why she's against it and you need to move on. If you really want to marry, don't have scarcity mindset. There's thousands of women you can marry that you could be quote unquote happy with. Yeah, definitely move on. But understand, prenups are thrown out all the time. So guys, this is why I think in a lot of ways why divorce is initiated so much by women. Guys, if you get anything out of my content, please consider supporting The Awakened Man and Naturopathic Earth. So the easiest way is click on the PayPal link on the episode notes or at the homepage of naturopathicearth.com and donate $5, $10 weekly, monthly, annually, whatever you want to do, one time. Buy my books, Confessions of an Obese Child or Revelations of a Weight Loss Warrior. You can find them on Amazon, Kindle, or paperback. If you want some one-on-one coaching, contact me through the Clarity FM link. And we can talk about whatever you need. Talk about divorce therapy, red pill awareness, whatever it is, weight loss. And lastly, please subscribe and post an honest review for The Awakened Man, The Essential Oils and Herbal Apothecary, which if you might, some of you guys would be like, what? Why does he have a podcast on Essential Oils? My ex-fiance started that podcast. So if there's like 70 episodes now, but if you listen to the first four, they're done by her. And then after we broke up, I just took it over because I like podcasting. So go post a review for that. I appreciate it. And go check out Confessions of an Obese Child for any of you deal with addictions or have family members in your life that deal with addictions. I think that's a good podcast for you. But subscribe to all three and post an honest review. Until next time, take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Awakened Man Podcast. Find us on Facebook at the Awakened Man Podcast page. Subscribe and post an honest review on Apple Podcasts and consider donating to our crowdfunding account. And remember, freedom is better than needle. Until next time.
Music attributed to Nine Inch Nails.